Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Suck you by.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know. I just feel like they should stay after sucking you. Heyo! We watched Jennifer's Body. Woman, when I saw you coming, should have started a running. Even a woman. Woman, I offer to you my soul. You ran it over hot coals. You evil woman. Is that the dumbest opening we've ever had?
It was wonderful, though.
Okay, good.
Particularly for this movie, a really gross sex joke to start it off is boom.
All right, John, Jennifer's Body.
Yes.
This was written by Diablo Cody. I have seen Juno and I've seen this movie. Has she done other things?
No, she did. I know she was responsible for or had some hand in The United States of Terra on Showtime. That was a short-lived,
I've heard that was good.
Not short-lived, yeah. But it was a series with, why am I blanking on her? Toni Collette, who's, I'm actually kind of curious about because I love Toni Collette, but I haven't seen a lot of her. This is the first like Diablo Cody vehicle I have seen.
Oh, okay. All right. So really my follow-up was how familiar are with her? Because I've seen Juno, but I saw it like when it came out. The only thing I remember is they say honest to blog at one point. And I think one of the things that like really distinguishes itself about this movie is the dialogue, is the in quotes witty dialogue.
Yes.
I don't know what to think because there's times where I hate it a lot because everybody's got the same voice and it's always on. But some of the lines are actually really fucking good.
Yeah.
So it's this odd thing where it's like, I hate it. I hate what you're doing. Oh, wow. What a great joke. It's almost like that shotgun approach to comedy where I'm just going to write every dumb witty thing I could think of. And then some of it just inevitably has to work.
It's the way comedy is now, like episodes of Portlandia where it's like, well, let's just riff on this scene and we'll just cut together the best bits. This feels like a little bit like, so she won the Oscar, I believe, for Juno.
I think so.
On the strength of that. And it feels like there's a little bit of like, really punch that. That's what people like. Do that. This was her follow-up, as I said, to Juno. And this is really tricky because it's, I think there's an incredible amount of tension between the direction and the script. I think part of the script really wants it to be like a jawbreaker, Heather's a more sort of like bright, colorful, more on its face satire thing. And the direction wants it to be a little bit more like, let's really look at the underlying horror here. And there's some great bits. There's some strengths, but I think the combo of the two really fight against each other too much. I think it came out in 2009 and was really advertised as like Twilight for dudes. Finally, a Twilight men can enjoy.
Ew, really? Is that what it came out?
Kinda. I mean, because it was also just like, hey, you want to see Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried kiss? Yeah, you do. Come on, check out this movie. And that's really not the point of the movie. So it was really kind of like let down by that because I think it was just like advertised to horny boys and it's not for that. You know what I mean?
No.
Like I think there's an element of that to it, but it's not really the selling point as much as the advertising made you want to think it was.
This feels like it was written by a woman. Like it's got, God, is that like horribly sexist? It probably is. I mean, in like a good way though. So is that sexist?
It just makes me think of the Shania Twain song.
Yeah, that's
written
exactly.
By
it. This has got
a
like,
woman.
This has got a Shania Twain vibe. No, mm-hmm. But I mean, it's not. Although there's some sexualization involved, obviously, like it's a horny, horny movie. It's kind of done in like from the lady perspective.
Right, like
I think it's, so. It's kind of, I don't know. Those kind of overly horny movies kind of annoy me. Like I don't, it's
sure,
just
yeah.
easy. And this doesn't fit that. Yeah.
No, like this is not a movie for me. And I mean that both in the sense of like, I didn't enjoy it that much, but it's also, it's not meant for me. You know, it's not targeted to, the coolest demographic, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff in here that's meant to be for women, for girls. How much that works, I don't know. I can't comment on that, but there's some stuff I think that absolutely just does not work, that the movie kind of undercuts itself. But I think you're right that it is written by a woman for a woman. Manly, yeah, yes, but I like it too.
Is it directed by a woman?
Yeah, it's Karen Kusama, who did the Invitation.
That's a weird advertising campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess where they're coming from, because Megan Fox is a weird phenomenon that happened around then, where she was just sold as the hottest thing that's ever been hotted to hottie hot hot. Like, her character in the Transformers movie is, oh my God, I want to fuck you, is her character description.
Right. Which, like, and, watch this movie, I realized, I'm like, I don't, because I've seen the Transformers movie, I don't remember it, but I was like, I don't think I've really ever heard Megan Fox talk.
I had that same thought.
I've just seen tons of photos of her, you know, in like tabloids and whatever, but just because I don't remember Transformers, and I don't think you're meant to
she think doesn't talk
a woman
much in that.
Talking in Transformers. But yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, because she's, you know, I think she does a decent job in this.
Well, I mean, okay, so let's deal with the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Fox came out known for her body. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, trafficked in her looks. And then there's the question of acting. And then I think the important question that we need to cover here is, do you think she's got really weird nipples?
I don't know.
Because she never shows her nipples in any movies.
Uh-huh.
And it is fucking weird. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not even desperate to look at them. I've just found it odd that her career is, I'm the incredibly hot person.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in this movie where she talks about how great her tits are, and never a nipple is shown.
Yeah.
And I find it suspect. I believe she may have weird nipples.
See, I think most people will go, it's more just the, like, talking it up. Like, man, I would love to see those, because you keep talking about them. They're there, but I can't see them. The full boob. Boy, that would be amazing. Whereas you being more conspiratorial minded. Mm-hmm. Like, well, there's got to be something wrong with them. Probably they're aliens or ghosts.
Well, I think she's got mismatched areolae,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
I don't know
I,
if that's
I bet
the
she's
plural.
A freak. That's why she's not showing you her boobs.
I think that's exactly it. And again, I'm saying this very clearly. I actually don't really have much interest in seeing her tits. Like, she doesn't. Uh-huh. She's not an interesting human to me.
Yeah.
But
so you're
just
the villain in this movie, basically.
Because I don't find her interesting.
Because she is not making herself sexually available to you. She's a demon.
No, what I posit is she's not showing her tits in movies where she's in the movie because of her tits is some kind of tautology. And I believe she may have weird nipples.
Uh-huh.
Also, I think this is the only podcast that's ever used tautology and weird nipples in the same phrase.
No, there's a podcast about the Chicago Bears that does that a lot.
Yeah,
they're serious on William Refrigerator Perry's nipples out of this world.
So the real question about Megan Fox is she a good actress? Which I, of course, derailed with nipple talk. And this is the first time I've ever seen her try to act. You can't judge the Transformers movie. She's not cast as a person there.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah.
And I she's kind of fine.
Yeah, the moment where she's in the van and she kind of realizes things are wrong. I thought that was great. I'm not saying like she's this like Helen Mirren fantastic whatever, but like for the reputation she has of just being in like an FHM spread come to life, I thought she was fine. I thought, yeah.
What I found distracting about her in this film, acting wise, is, and I don't mean, I'm going to ruin this for everybody, but pay attention to her eye acting. She's got dead eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, she puts, there's no emoting in her eyes. She emotes with her face, her mouth. She's got good face work or pronunciation. You get it across if you're listening to it. I think the acting's better. But if you look at her eyes at any scene, other than the van scene, because she actually looks a little scared.
Yeah.
But like anytime she's talking to Needy, you're looking at a hallway. Like there's just nothing there. It's just glass.
But I think that works. I for this character in particular, and I think like the sort of the meta commentary of casting Megan Fox as this character also works. She is awful. Like it's not like, well, she was good and then this happened. Like she's always been this vapid, crummy thing.
Well, I don't know that she's ever been awful. I've never seen her act.
No. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
No, like, I'm not talking about acting wise. I'm talking about the character being like morally reprehensible and terrible. Like that she's an unemotional.
Oh yeah. No, I was just wondering
about
the meme side of it.
I think kind of works.
Yeah.
Cause she's not really engaged with anybody.
I mean, I don't hate that argument. It's just, I don't think that's what's actually happening. do you remember reading who they wanted for the role?
See, now I had read that they always wanted Megan Fox.
Because I read some
trivia
somewhere that like there was somebody else up for the role and I was like, oh my God, that would have been so much better. And I can't remember who the fuck it was.
It was Helen Mirren.
You know what? I'm totally wrong. What was up for debate was they said Emma Stone was considered for Needy, which not to say that it works better. No. But I was like, oh shit, that would have worked really well too.
I thought, I thought Amanda Seyfried was perfectly fine.
She did great. But yeah. I don't really know her that well either. I mean, I've seen some of her stuff, but like, I'm not super familiar with it. And I thought she was perfect. I thought she got the tone perfect. Like, yeah, it was really, yeah.
I don't think the movie got the tone perfect, but I think Amanda Seyfried did a great job.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I know we already talked about it, but let's swing back to that just for a second. Why isn't Diablo Cody directing this? I guess is the
well, I don't know that Diablo Cody's a director. I don't know if she did. I think she's only written. I don't think she's.
Yeah, she only writes stuff, but it just seems like the director didn't get what the script was.
Well, like I said, there was a tension because the script is very campy, but this campy stuff. Well, it's not, it's not 100% campy. It's not completely tongue in cheek, but like, this ridiculous stuff is underpinned by some really dark themes. I think the Karen Kusama really wanted to explore those more, and sometimes it kind of works because it really takes these moments that are stupid and gives them a more weight. But at the same time, that weight fights against the sort of lighthearted isn't the right word, but the flippancy of some of this other stuff that wants to keep it at this one certain level. Yeah. But part of that, I think, is the script is the problem with the script too, is her like gunning up these stupid fucking catchphrases and moveon.org with your life or whatever the fuck people are saying, that instead of having character development, they just have that.
Because
there's some real nuggets here. Because like the scene, so the whole crux of this thing is these two girls. They live in a small town, Devil's Kettle, and Jennifer and Anita, also called Needy. Jennifer takes Needy to they're going to go see a rock show at the local bar, which lets in young people occasionally because it's the only game in town. Because a band is playing. The band takes they cause a fire a fire happens while they're playing. And then everyone, there's a bunch of deaths and stuff in there. Then the band takes Jennifer away in a van. And later Jennifer comes back and something's wrong with her. You don't know what. Well, it's eventually revealed that the band took her to sacrifice her to try to get in with Satan. They thought she was a virgin. Try to sacrifice her to get in with Satan to improve their chances of being an indie band, which I thought was a hilarious twist. And also, there's this dark thing of like men just using women to gain some tiny amount of success.
So that's the fire at whatever the hell the name of the place was.
Yeah.
That's the direction I want, because it's funny horror. It's horrific, but it's also kind of funny that there's people everybody's immediately totally on fire. The squish noise of someone's their head getting squished. It's kind of Evil Dead-y. I think that they got tonally right.
See, that's where it loses me, because I think the reaction like the first scene.
How could it just lose? My argument was stupid, and I take it back.
Yeah, there's stuff building up to it, but like just the fact that there's this with the movie that this fire is going on, and then the guy from the band comes over and is like, "Hey, you want to get in my van?" Like nothing is happening.
I liked. I thought that tonally worked with the script. He's still got a drink in his hand.
It was weird.
I thought that worked.
I don't know, the fact that it was trying to also be kind of heavy in some places, because then when they're sacrificing her. And they're like, "Oh, your name's Jenny," and they start singing, Tommy Two Tones, 8675309. That would have been so much more like, "Oh, look at how flippant and terrible they're being." If every other character wasn't like that, you know what I mean?
See,
if every
other scene wasn't the other way.
Just that flippant with it.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. See, I think I think the whole thing being flippant would be funnier.
You
get distracted by having like any of the Jennifer stuff where she's all demonic is a little too played like horror-y.
Yeah.
And then when you get back to the camp, it kind of ruined it. So what I want is a camp from A to B or A to Z. I want I forgot Z and Z alphabet, not B. B is the second letter.
It just, if you want to keep green English, but I just need two letters. That's it. Ba, ba, ba.
I mean, it's a good point. It's how language started.
Said it all.
I agree with you. I just want it fixed in the other direction. I think would be
I'm asking.
Yeah. Because
I think, like I said, there's this, like, it doesn't work as soon as that really, as that tension starts going. Because I think Kusama's game, I think there's some fun, like, Sam Raimi-esque camera moves and stuff like that. What seems like what should be there in like the movie Karen Kusama's trying to make would be at the forefront Whereas the stuff in the Diablo Cody's movie is like in the background, like with a knowing wink.
Yeah. Well, like, so the here's an example. And obviously, I mean, spoiler or whatever, I'm talking about the end of the movie here. At the end where she kills Jennifer, it's played up like there's emotion there and she's really concerned about killing her friend. No, just it's supposed to be fun. Like that's and that's like just I mean, obviously, that's like one of the last examples. But like that's also followed up by a fun death sequence afterwards. Like we just keep the fun. Don't make this hard because that thing's super fun. And then it's cut by like this awkward like reality coming in and the mother coming in and grieving and like, no, that's not. And it's shot in like this. It like hits you away. We're like, no, I like that fun, campy, weird movie I was watching for about 4 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just it fights against itself and it doesn't help. And it got reamed by critics when it first came out. And it's more recently gotten a, like there's been this fervent fan base and it's gotten a sort of critical reappraisal lately. And I'm kind of more on the side of the critics in 2009.
I'm more on the reappraisal side. Not that I'm there for it, but I think people that were 21 and under when this movie came out, having any kind of positive emotion towards it, I could see how this would be like, if I had watched this in high school, I think I would have liked it a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that cause there's a lot of things that are like, shows. It was really this prescient about Me Too and all this other stuff. And I think that there's a lot of stuff that's there, but it's just buried under fucking terrible dialogue and shit. And so like, I don't think it's, I don't like the movie. I think it's interesting. I think there's stuff to talk about there. I don't think it's worth, I didn't have a good time watching it.
Oh, really? I liked it. I was frustrated by it because they didn't land the tone. I mean, that's really like my main concern with it is I thought, I enjoyed it. I liked the dialogue for how big swings it was taking. Like, obviously it wasn't good, but in the campy movie that I want to watch, it works a lot better. Yeah. But in this movie where they keep trying to be a little serious, it really puts a spotlight. But very importantly, she refers to child molesters as Chesters in the first part of this movie. And I had to stop and look that up. And I was like, all right, I guess
you've
this movie
heard
did
that,
its job.
Chester the Molester?
What's that?
You've never heard Chester the Molester?
I guess, but I never heard Chesters.
Just on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's part of my thing with this is that like, so as much as I hate Joss Whedon, like Joss Whedon and Diablo Cody are two different styles of using a turd. Joss Whedon is, I don't want to say elegant, but like he's more like he has this fighting style of turddom where she's just like a turd berserker where she's just going to force this stuff at you. Like, yeah, I said this shit. Boom. I'm not going to try to like make it cute or whatever. Boom. MoveOn.org. I keep bringing up that one, but there's just something like really like you're trying to force these phrases and stuff like these catchphrases.
Tampon jokes that happen over the course of it, which one is actually hilarious and we'll get to it later. But you're right. But Joss Whedon, I think, is Joss Whedon is an artisan where I don't like his art.
Yeah.
But he's an artist. I do like his art, but like it. He turned into a shithead and he stopped. I haven't liked anything in 20 years probably. But the point is, he's put in the paces. And I think Diablo Cody, I think Juno was kind of a found script sort of thing. And I think she's just throwing everything at the wall. Like she's not like a honed and artisanal wacky writer.
Well, not having seen Juno, I can't speak to that, whether or not like that was more effective in that movie. But because she was known for that, it really got, laid into this movie. I think if you can just get away from that, there's some really cool stuff here. And I think and I think some of the like some really strong moments of like the weird interactions teens have, like my favorite stuff in the movie was the stuff between Needy and her boyfriend. And like that weird sex scene between them, I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we have to talk about that when we get to it.
There's great stuff there, but when you're just really kind of forcing these like witty phrases, it feels forced and it takes me out of the movie. It's like Kevin Smith, it's like, oh, what you did in Clerks was kind of interesting. What if I do it a ton and like even more so in Mallrats? Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah. We're going to reopen that. Cause the problem is I really like early Kevin Smith, but his later career proved you right. So I can't, I can't do it. what do you want me to do? I still like his, I think Mallrats is a fun movie. All right. Back to this other everybody's witty and has the same voice movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's I'm just going to keep making the same point. They named the lead character Needy. That's so great. And then they don't really make a movie where that makes sense. Where, I mean, that's such a decision. Right. And then it just doesn't really, it doesn't, the movie doesn't back it up. But it's annoying because they made that brilliant decision to literally have the lead character that's super needy be named Needy. That's funny. Yeah. That's like, you know, that kind of just fucking let's just go for it style of filmmaking or writing.
Well, I think it's also like, it's a neat little sort of feint because this movie, of course, got compared a lot to a great high school horror film, Ginger Snaps, about, you know, a coming of, is a werewolf story that like corresponds with coming of age, like becoming a woman and becoming an powerful. But I don't think it's that movie. Like, cause I just rewatched that on the heels of this thinking like, oh, that was a better movie, but it tells a completely different story. And this one is really so much more about like this toxic friendship. And
yeah,
like, so it's an interesting fate that like, so it's, oh, she's needy. Oh, well, and Jessica's hot, or sorry, Jennifer's hot. So you can see how like, well, she's needy. She wants to be like Jennifer, but there's this interplay between them that I, again, like there's a nugget of that there, but I feel like is not gone into enough to show. Cause at the end it's kind of revealed like, well, yeah, but Jennifer needs her. Jennifer's the one that's needy, that needs Needy to be like enthralled to her, to like not be as pretty as her, to have someone to kind of compare it, to be better than. That's why I like that little feint there.
All right, wait, let's talk about Amanda Seyfried here.
Mm-hmm.
So early in the movie, she says, "I can't believe such a babe would be friends with a dork like me."
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking hate this in movies.
Yep.
Where they get just like top five attractive people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to put glasses on her,
mm-hmm.
and therefore dork. It is unfair to the dork community, and it is unfair to the attractive woman community. It does no one a service.
Well, the other problem is that the only time that you see someone really like being against them is like, so there's the one student who's like, oh, like, I make some sort of lesbian joke to Needy when Needy waves at Jennifer in the beginning. But like, no one seems to have really a bad thing to say about Jennifer. No one's like mean to Jennifer, and no one's mean to Needy. We see her boyfriend who seems to like her. He's a dopey guy that he seems to like her. And then there's that the weird goth kid who seems to like her. You know, there's not this strife they face in their daily high school lives.
Yeah. And
they're
seems
very
like
insulated from everything else.
And it seems like Jennifer's not actually that bad of a person before she gets the demon in her. It seems like she's pretty open sexually, which, you know, rad for that. But like, she doesn't seem that bad. Like, you never see her pick on anybody. It's just
no. Well, you get the line about her not wanting Needy to dress as, you know, don't look as good as me. You know, so that
well, keep
those,
it, well,
those
no, no, not
to, and then like guilting her into like, oh, you're not going to this thing with me. I'm gonna cross you out, or you know, she's a crummy friend.
Not going to this thing. I think she was already a demon at that point. That's the way that Amanda Seyfried, Needy, is describing Jennifer. Because this movie is from Amanda Seyfried's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the insane asylum telling the story of what happened to Jennifer's body.
Fair deuce.
So this is, you know, a case of an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would love the end to be, she's just a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was totally in her mind. She totally ate, like, some fat football guy. Like, she killed all of her, like, half of her class. Like, but no, they didn't.
No, that would be an interesting take on that. Like, because if you could do that also in a way that has sort of these same themes, I bet, you know, about sort of someone driven to the brink by these, you know, stupid societal pressures.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
All right, so there's a couple, just rapid fire until we get to, like, the heart of the movie. During the bar scene, one, Chris Pratt's in this movie.
That was such an unwelcome surprise.
It's just so weird to like Chris Pratt's in it. And like, fucking Lance and Henriksen's in this movie. Like, there's so many weird cameos.
So what's really funny about the Lance Henriksen thing? Yeah, because Lance Henriksen has to think at the end. There is a movie. It's called Hardwired with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Val Kilmer.
Absolutely I'm pretty terrible. Sure I've seen it. Yeah.
And the end of the movie is that like it's this whole like stupid future dystopian thing. Val Kilmer seems like the bad guy. Cuba Gooding Jr. defeats Val Kilmer, but then the real power behind the throne is this one guy, and they locate this dude, and it's a picture of Lance Henriksen. You're like, oh man, Lance Henriksen. But he's not in the credits. What's in the credits is still from Millennium. Whenever I see Lance Henriksen now, I'm like, oh, it's still from Millennium.
In the bar thing, there's a Diablo Cody cameo.
She was the bartender.
A bartender. This is my favorite sequence, and this is why I like the writing, and maybe it's, but Jennifer talking to Needy. She's like, I'm not even an anal virgin anymore, which, by the way, hurts. I had to sit on a bag of frozen peas all day. Really? I'm not joking. That's great. I love that that's in a movie. It's just two ladies talking about, like, butt stuff.
It was a little, like, eye-rolly butt. Like, for the movie, it was at that moment. Absolutely. You know what I
mean? That's what I mean. Yeah,
like, yes. The whole opening of this movie, the tone of it, whatever, I was absolutely on board with it.
I'm putting myself in the position of someone watching that as somebody that's like, ooh, this is going to be a fun movie. I'm sure Forrest would know what kind of Greek letter male I am for saying this, but I am a fan of women in films talking like dudes. A graphic description of butt issues is such a dominion of men that it is kind of refreshing of like, oh. It's like young ladies talking about the butt hurt. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen that in a movie before.
Sapiosexual, the dudes that are like, I'm only attracted to brilliance. You're a Smithiosexual. You're only attracted to Kevin Smith characters.
No, Kevin Smith characters would have men talking about how ladies' butts hurt.
Kevin Smith would also write ladies talking like dudes.
Yes, but not to this extent. Like, I don't know. I guess I hate men enough and their despicable behavior that it's like, oh, look, ladies act like men. I like this.
Sure. You're a big Sex and the City fan. You're such a Samantha.
Yeah.
I'm a Miranda.
I think I'm much more of a Judith. I've never seen that fucking show.
It's Judith.
I was too busy. I was playing sports.
It's some like 50-year-old woman in a shawl with them the whole time.
I played sports and drinking whiskey, not drinking any of your watching
Cosmos.
Sex and the City. Ugh. I'm such a Miranda. Is that the name you just said?
That's the good one, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm definitely a Miranda because I'm the good one. Mm-hmm. No, I want to be Kim Cattrall. Who's that?
That's the Samantha.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely a Samantha then. Yeah. Now, I just liked her in, what movie do I like her in
Mannequin.
When she's young?
Split Second with Rutger Hauer?
No.
Big Trouble in Little China?
Yes, that's the one. Big Trouble in Little China.
City Lights?
No, Big Trouble in Little China. Okay. You already won.
No, I know. I just kept going. I just like talking about Kim Cattrall.
You know what it was? It was Star Trek, whichever one she was in. Mm-hmm. You know who else is in this movie? J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Big fan.
Big fan of J.K. Simmons. And this was also like pre-J.K. Simmons, like being J.K. Simmons and everything. You know what I mean? Like he was still just more of a character actor back then. It seemed like it wasn't just like you could just throw J.K. Simmons in anything and people be like, oh, J.K. Simmons.
Is that true?
I feel like that wasn't quite like we were on the cusp because Spider-Man had already happened, you know. People looked
because I knew him from Oz, and then Spider-Man happened.
Yeah, which
and
is
at that
always
point,
funny
he's
to
just...
me because Oz is like he's such a different character in that show, and I would probably just go back and laugh at it now. But I like his character.
He's pretty. Wait. To be fair, J.K. Simmons in Spider-Man is pretty similar because remember that scene where. Spider-Man, aka Peter Parker, got so fed up that he put a bench on top of J. Jonah Jameson and shit on his chest.
I never saw the third one.
Okay, yeah, that happens in the third one, and then he gets kicked out of M City.
Yeah, no, I only saw the second one where J. Jonah Jameson carved a swastika into Spider-Man.
I mean, it's very famous. It's a famous scene. Yeah, I remember Alfred Molina said he cried when he first saw it.
Oh, wow, no, I guess I'm missing out. No, but I like his character as like this English teacher that like he's got a hook for a hand and like clearly some sort of burn wound or something like that.
Yes.
And there's like this vague reference to it, but it's never described. And that's fine.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. Much in the same way that like what really happened to Jennifer isn't fully explained. Like you get the process of like, but, you know, she's just like, well, and then I woke up and I was like this. And I like that. That it is.
I
this,
would agree
this
with you.
Nebulous thing.
Except for during the occult book section, she explains explicitly what happens to Jennifer.
Well, no, you explained that there's a demon in there, but there's not just this like, it's this kind of demon, and this is what was. There's
oh,
not,
you're saying
not
even
this,
more
this,
specific.
Like, okay. Yeah, there's not this like, well, we can save her if we do this, you know, this ritual or anything like that. Like it's a little bit more nebulous. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's like she's a demon. Well, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I laughed when she goes through the occult section because, one, I love the occult, love the, libraries, well, and I love that they would have an occult section.
In the high school library.
Yeah, like, it's really fun. It's like, and then she's got like, and there's a funny line where she goes, oh, it's really small. Yeah. But I thought they over-explained it just a skosh where it's like, well, if the demon bites, if you try to sacrifice someone that's not a virgin, they can often survive and then the demon will be, and you're like, I mean, yeah, maybe tone it back a little bit. I didn't really need that. Like, I'd leave. But, I enjoyed that they don't give an explanation. Oh, and here's where, when I still thought we were going to be watching a campy movie with horror elements, I enjoyed the way they showed Jennifer showing up at Needy's house.
Yes.
You had a big, creepy, black mouth smile, which I was like, ooh, Megan Fox, well done. You're doing some shit. And then that bit where she throws up like the ferromagnetic fluid on the floor. I was like, that looks dumb as fuck, but it's great. Cause I thought we were going to watch a dumb as fuck movie. Like what happened when they burned down the bar about 10 minutes ago? Like, yeah, all right. Ferromagnetic demon blood. This is fucking great.
Yeah, no, that stuff was great. And like I said, like this is kind of the point where it loses me. And I think, like you said, because it wants to try to be like this more like serious horror movie. You have Jennifer, not like she knows who did this to her. She just starts killing these more like vulnerable, sad people as a result. So it's like, okay, here's this sort of cycle of abuse and the way that affects people. And that's a big, serious, heavy thing. But the movie still has this very kind of flippant tone in a lot of the dialogue and the scripting. And so it feels like that unbalance doesn't work because there's not as much character stuff to build on, you know what I mean, to bolster that. And so I feel like some of that stuff gets lost a bit. But I do like the whole indie bands thing, Low Shoulder is the indie band, yeah. And their whole thing is they want to kill Jennifer to get in good with Satan to help their career. But what happens is because they have somehow, the story has gotten out, that they have saved a bunch of people from the bar. Everyone loves them and, like, loves their shitty music, which I thought, like, the way that band looks, you know, like, if it was not meant as a joke then, it absolutely works as a joke now. Because they totally look like the fucking shitty indie bands of that era. But like the fact that everyone is like holds them up as like, yeah, these are the saviors of the town. These are good people. This is the town's anthem now. And at one point when Needy comes, like, these guys fucking suck. They're just trying to make money off of this. And the one student is like, you don't get it. You're terrible. That they didn't need to worship Satan, that we're dumb enough as a people that when evil in our own way, that like we would raise you up for that anyway.
Well, maybe that is worshiping Satan. It's worshiping the media.
Right. Oh, ooh. So
666, John,
saying.
Q and on. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm always saying. I love how bad the lyrics are to that song, where if I may delightfully say a word that I say in every episode, it is a pastiche of every bit of shitty, I'm trying to be emotional writing. And I love it because when they did it at first, it's like, oh, this song's terrible. And I'm like, oh, I guess, you know, I didn't even kind of double think it. I'm like, oh, I guess it's just terrible. But when it starts becoming the town's anthem and everybody's like singing it together at a memorial, like, oh, this is fucking beautiful. This is the movie I want. I want dumb idiot teens singing shitty lyrics. That speaks to me.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder, because like so much of the other soundtrack is those kind of bands. And so like, is that all a joke? Was some of that like, you know, studio involvement of like, oh, well, kids love this kind of music, have it be this kind of music. So I don't know, but
I don't either.
That aside, like, that band is just, or the presentation of that band is spot on, is perfect. And like, they're fucking shits. I hate that dude. Like Adam Brody. I know he's from the OC. I have not seen the OC. Because of this movie now, when I see him, my hackles will be up, because it just it sucks.
Well, you know, hey, it was original content.
Yes, I got it. Yep.
Hi, it's David Lynch. Speaking of that, that's a great point. That's a great thing. If you want to hear me do like an hour of David Lynch that sounds nothing like David Lynch, sign up for our Patreon. It's patreon.com/AlexBolin, Alex with two X's. There's a link on the site. I know it's like a terrible Patreon for our show, but I started it before the show. And then it sort of melded in, and that's what it is now. But we did an episode on Dune, the David Lynch one, and you should go do that. I suck at plugging, and I remembered now. So there, we plugged it. Congratulations, guys. We
Yay.
Did it. John.
Yes.
Here's where the movie goes shitty, as we were talking about. When the first thing that made me think this movie isn't going to be the fun thing was when she takes football guy out in the woods to eat him.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has no dialogue. There's nothing funny happening. It is just a boring horror scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets the tone for a lot of the rest of the movie. And that's like, if we could do like some kind of automatic filter where we just, okay, we're going to capture 10 seconds of this footage. Now, please remove this from the movie. Anything with this tone, I would love this film.
See, but at the same time, some of that stuff's awesome. Like the scene like right after that, where she is swimming in the lake. Like that whole bit,
that's great.
I love. That was amazing. And like, I would love to see that movie, the movie with that tone. So
I would
there's two movies just competing against each other here.
Yeah. And I would love that scene too, except for when she gets out of the water. You know what I want to see?
David Lynch impressions? No. Nipples.
No. I've discussed extensively earlier, John. I'm not interested in seeing her nipples. I just found it weird that she didn't show it. You fucking asshole. How about you pay attention to the own show you're on instead of dicking around in our group chat?
You are telling on yourself.
No, I don't.
Because you know what I did? I just went, no, nipples, I don't even think about them. You know, I didn't even have that thought about not thinking about nipples. There was just nothing. Whereas you're like, ooh, let me focus on nipples.
All right. So audience at home, I think you need to be led into what's happening here because this probably is a little weird. John goes on every time he gets drunk. Ad fucking nauseam about how he wasn't breastfed as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys get drunk and they start talking about like their favorite sports team or the shit they did in high school. John just every time is like, and my mom, she just used the bottle every time. Just bottle.
No.
I just want to be all up on those mom titties, mom. Not in a weird way. And it is just, it's hours. It's not insufferable. Right. John, it's very charming. I'm just saying, you know, the audience needs to know why this is happening.
No, see, this is an unreliable narrator. Because what you're extrapolating that, what I am telling you is that I was not raised by a mother, but an elite ancient cabal of assassins.
Okay, like the League of Shadows. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But cooler.
Is that why you make me call you Talia al Ghul while we're in bed together?
No, that's just for fun.
Her mom, Needy's mom, is great. Played by Jerry Blank, I think.
Yeah, Amy Sedaris. And this is, again, like another, like, here's this kernel of something that's interesting.
Yep. Back to the movie I like.
Yeah. So, but it's like, I love Amy Sedaris, but like, she's this single mom who's got night terrors and is all super medicated, not there for her kids. Even like Jennifer's mom, like you only see her mom. Like that there's this sort of small town life kind of thing. We're like, oh, look, there's stuff happening around these characters that might be interesting, but no, don't worry about that. Let's have more quips. Got to put more quips in there. That's what builds character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did like her quips though, because she called Jesus JC,
mm-hmm.
which I'm a big fan of. I've been saying that for years. And she referred to herself as a Ford Tough Mama Bear.
Yes. That was great.
Which, yeah, being a city dwelling leftist fool, I don't hear things like that often. And I found it very amusing.
But even like, I don't know. I just would like to have seen more with. I mean, anytime I see Amy Sedaris, I'd like to see more with Amy Sedaris.
Oh no, absolutely! I would trade the horror. I here's the trades I want. I either want all of the serious style shots and horror traded out for that, or trade all that for serious horror. Just let's pick a side. Just pick something. God damn it, for once in your life. I don't know who said it, but somebody around this part of the film said it's the best day since Jesus invented the calendar,
which I found to be
a funny line.
Yes, I thought that was a great line. Yeah.
Also, here's a thing. So this movie came out in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and I seem to remember Juno was this way as well. But man, has language evolved since 2009, because there is a lot of words based on retarded in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so here's a thing I've talked about extensively, but so my old show, The Alex Cast, started in 2010 and went for 10 years. And the first 100 episodes aren't available anymore because it started back when you could, like, retarded was a normal word to say. And I fear for what I said on those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And this just immediately made me think, like, oh, poor Diablo Cody, because I'm sure she's an aware person. And having this dialogue as like yeah. as her oeuvre is because you can't delete this. People are watching these movies. I can make the Alex cast go away. Also, no one listens, but I can make it go away. This is forever, and then it's freak-tarded.
Yeah, it's very much a product of its time. But yeah, there's a lot of variations on that term or, you know, short bus kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they said sped at one point, yes. Which I haven't thought about since I was in fucking like fifth Same. Grade.
Yeah, that is not a term I think I've heard in 30 some years. But
no, John, we're supposed to be young and cool. I mean, I haven't heard that for 12 years back when I was in high school.
Well, I haven't heard it for 30 years, which is how long I was in the air from doing a cool kick flip.
Yes, that's
Tony
a good point.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, yes. I was going to make a further skateboarding joke, and I realized this is not the audience.
Yeah, I said Tony Hawk. That is the beginning. You said the Alpha said, and the Omega. Yeah. Oh, I did say kickflip. So I guess yeah, that's the Alpha.
You do kickflip.
And then
yeah.
Tony Hawk is the Omega of my skateboarding knowledge.
Since we're down this road, literally going to make a Jesus Air reference, and that might be niche for skateboard people. It's like, yeah, it's maybe let's say. I did promise something. So, John, we are doing, it's October, so we're doing all scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about this movie being de-frightful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. I don't know why I'm doing this, since I don't pay for the Patreon, and I don't know why I'm making any reference. But, yeah,
that's
the only people that ever talk to us about the show.
Well, Jennifer started killing people. Needy's sort of starting to get wise to what's going on.
There's an awkward kissing sequence. Yeah, but when I say awkward, I mean the hottest thing that's ever happened in any movie we've watched between Jennifer and Needy.
Oh, at the end?
No, like we're like this part, like kind of mid movie, because then she reveals because there's a kind of pointless killing sequence. They have like a lesbian moment, and Jennifer sits her down and explains, "Oh, by the way, I died from an indie rock band."
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is where she reveals what actually happened.
Yeah, the Night of the Fire.
And this was the thing that was kind of bothering me because like there's a lot of this movie that is, you know, about toxic, not just about toxic friendships, but about like the certain kind of friendships that women have, particularly like of that age, of like these sort of like fraught, like emotional, your best friends. But like there's a lot of stuff going on there as well. I have not dated a lot of people in my time, but I would say the majority of women that I've dated have had that person. And I've been familiar with that person, like either it's fine, either it's something that like, no, we're just besties and we're connected at the hip and whatever. Or it's this like tumultuous. You're also in a relationship with this person because you're, you know what I mean? Like there's this love hate thing. And particularly, I think in high school, when everything's kind of confused, whatever, that's super heightened. And I think this tries to demonstrate that. And I think that was what a lot of people kind of glommed onto at the beginning. And maybe what I don't know if this was an influence on things, but I think you see that same kind of thing in shows like Broad City or Pen 15 that I think do it better because this is, again, this kind of like just little kernels of things. But I liked that they have this weird, almost like there's even a point where she says we can play boyfriend and girlfriend in the bed. That's not just like, it's not like a, ooh, it's sexy kind of thing, but it's also just like, oh, let's do a thing where we spoon and we're close to each other.
Yeah, and there's the underlying current of Needy probably being bi or whatever, like at least being interested in girls a little bit, and Jennifer holding that over her and being aware of it but not really bringing it up. There is a good dynamic, except they don't really – it doesn't go through the whole movie. They don't explore it well enough. And again, it's one of those
like
things of –
barely queer.
Yeah. So we referenced it before, but how do you feel about the 8675309 stabbing?
I hate it. I think what it's trying to do – is undercut by the rest of the movie, by like them being these flippant kind of things, because every other character, like you said, everyone talks in the same voice. The sort of freakishness, or like the whole like, see how flippant they're being about murdering this person?
Yeah.
Everyone's flippant about everything in this movie. Like, or at least all the main characters are. It's called out how flippant Jennifer is about, or Needy, both Jennifer and Needy, actually, about like the tragedy of the bar burning down. Generally, everyone kind of has this same like, yeah, whatever, I'll just crack some jokes about it. Like they're ordering 9/11 shooters, you know, it's that kind of
tone.
I gotta
tell you the truth. I did kind of like the 9/11 shooter.
No, that was, again, like, it's like, a funny bit.
Where she goes, Tower 2 is, I forget what you said, like Tower 2 is getting all uneven or whatever.
It's already collapsing. Or
yeah, that's.
Yeah. So it's just like someone... that the weight of that scene, I think, is actually undercut by that. If you just had them be like, hey, we're killing you just to get our indie rock band going, that was enough for me. You didn't need that stupid little other bit.
I'm on the fence about the 8675309. I kind of like it in concept. When he throws the knife into the well, it is such a weird effect that it bothered the shit out of me. It's such a small thing to be annoyed by. But like the timing was weird and like the angle looked wrong. Like the whole thing, it's so stupid. But it actually, that took me out more than the tonal shift between. I did like that he just printed out the spell off the internet and it looks like he hasn't really read it up on it.
Yeah. Well, and just like the band is kind of like not like he's clearly the alpha of the band or whatever. And they're like, I don't know, man, but I guess we're going to do whatever you want to do. That whole dynamic was great. And again, like, because like this, and I did like the idea of what you think is this horrible, you know, that she was sexually assaulted. Wasn't that, it was an unexpected twist.
Yeah.
While still hitting the same thing of like, yeah, this group of men did something terrible to her, but.
I did like, the band's so great. And the one like kind of, nerdy, he's obviously the drummer guy. That's great.
I think it's very fitting also like that it's Megan Fox, because you know, look at Michael Bay, for example. Like Michael Bay's like, yeah, just put this whore in my movie, whatever, she's hot, and then I'll get, you know, it'll make a successful movie and I'll move on. It's just like they're just using this woman for that, you just kind of thoughtlessly do this stuff to just further your own ambitions, however little or grandiose they are. And so I think that kind of meta casting of Megan Fox in that role really kind of works.
Yeah. I like that you think there's a meta aspect to her casting.
Oh, there totally is. Absolutely there is. Like, particularly at that time, who else are you going to get that? Like, it makes sense that she's that character.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm there with anyway. We need to talk about some more important things. Needy's dress at the prom.
Yeah.
I wish we were more fashion people. Like, because I feel like there's 15 minutes on this and I don't have it. It is both hideous and glorious simultaneously.
See, that's
those
the thing
those
that
shoulder
puffs me.
are oh, so good.
No, it's so obviously a bit. You know what I mean? Like it's no one in 2009 went, you know what would look cool is that dress. Like it's not even just like, well, my mom is like, I wore this when I went to prom. By the time she was the mom went to prom, that style was not even there. You know what I mean? It was a thing that felt very forced of like, oh, and look, she's only got to wear this thing because that's all she has because she's poor or whatever. It was so gaudy and stupid. It was too over the top for me. Again, for the kind of movie this turned into, didn't fit.
See, what I love about it is the introduction is I'm on your side. This doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. But when she gets into an action sequence in that dress is
okay,
chef's kiss.
Sure. Yeah. That's a different thing. Yeah.
But that's what I mean. But you need to have her in that dress in order for her to dive into a pool to fight a demon to save her boyfriend with big frilly shoulders. This is the frustration of this movie because that's a beautiful sequence.
Yeah. See, I like the twist of the damsel in distress of her having to save her boyfriend. And again, like that, their weird interaction, their weird relationship when, like, she's already done something to Jennifer, and Jennifer, like, because whatever pool they're in, Jennifer rises up out of the pool, and it's like, oh my god, she's flying. No, she's floating. It's not that impressive. That,
yeah,
like,
funny.
Oh, no, I can't let her get that far ahead. Like, that's amazing, but I have to undercut it. I feel like if there was stuff that kind of backed that a little bit more, it would have been a more successful line. Like, because that really, that's such a teen girl thing, you know, or teen whoever, you know, but that just like that toxic friendship where you're like, well, I can't let you get too far ahead.
Well, I think that's the needy character building, which I do think she has a character arc in this movie. Is that's the kind of culmination of it, is she's over the kind of Jennifer worship and then she's just like, fuck you, now be a catty bitch.
Yeah, but I just wish there was more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think
you wish this uneven, shitty movie was even and good. Yeah. Yeah, no, I gotcha. I'll pick it up where you put it down.
Because I do think there is this element to like, you know, women navigating these weird toxic friendships and how that the reaction to that, what comes out of that. Whereas like when dudes have shitty toxic friendships, we just make podcasts together.
Well, you know, John, I'm hurt. I'm hurt by that. Because I think our friendship is beautiful. I think two cis hetero men meeting in their adulthood, becoming friends, and doing something creative together is a beautiful thing that we've done. We birthed a creative baby together, and then you just undermine it by saying it's toxic.
Well, here's the thing. You know, maybe this wouldn't have happened if you didn't dress more sexy than me at the Warhammer 40K tournament, which I explicitly asked you not to. That was my
John,
scene.
John, when
and
they
you
said
in...
a demonstration of painting miniatures, sorry, first thing that pops in my head is I'm not going to finish this joke. We all know where it's going. Okay, so.
You painted a Joker face on it. It was embarrassing.
Hey. Why so serious, John?
You want to know how I got these scars? Circumcision. I was butchered. Give me back my foreskin.
There's a fun line in the pool. There's a lot of tampon jokes.
Real quick, though, I would like to just really just pat us on the back for a movie about personal female relationships, and we managed to talk about penises. Big ups to us.
You did. I didn't finish the joke. I left you at the try. Yeah. Because this relationship isn't toxic.
Because it's, this isn't.
I'm toxic, saying you're in this relationship. Mm-hmm. So, what's great about this movie on a feminist perspective is I don't know the boyfriend's name, but boyfriend stabs Jennifer with like a flagpole. Oh, no, with a pool skimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls it out and she goes, you got a tampon? Yeah. I thought I'd ask because you seem like you might be plugging. That is a funny fucking line to me, is that you seem like you might be plugging as a demon is inside of you when you're bleeding out. It's funny.
Yeah. Again, like this.
Yeah. Uneven. Yeah.
It was in a different movie, in the movie that some of it was, it would have been great.
Also another fun line, and I'm going to feel uncomfortable saying this cause I hate this term, but, Needy is on top of Jennifer about the stabber. She goes, you know what this is for? Cutting boxes, which he's got the box cutter.
Yeah.
And because box is also a synonym for vagina. Mm-hmm. And like, that's great. I like that. That's some ownership right there. So she shoves a box cutter through her sternum. And Jennifer's mom comes in and it gets real. It gets real, real. And the movie doesn't know what tone it's supposed to have. And it's quite confusing.
We skipped over a lot of the like her relationship with her boyfriend, which is fine. I like that bit a lot. I mentioned that I liked it, so we don't really need to go into it. But like the whole stuff with her that opens with her at the insane asylum where she's at now. I think this contextualizes it a lot. I like how this kind of delivers, because at the front it feels very forced and very like I'm a tough girl now. You know, I'm a kicker. K-I-C-K-E-R. But the fact that you find out that she is like, well, I'm actually, you know, somewhat of a demon now and whatever, makes a little bit more sense. But I still like, I almost wish you didn't see that thing at the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a way to have this movie work as it is. And I don't know that that's it. I think it's just, I can't resolve that tension between the direction and the script.
If I can, just take the soapbox here for a second. Most occult scholars don't know this, but if you get bit by a demon and live, you might get some of their powers. Bitch, are you trying to tell me what I know or don't know? As an occult scholar, I find you talking down to me like that fucking offensive, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for all the empowerment that they talk about with this movie, they just really gloss over the denigration of occult scholars.
I think that's really the undercurrent of the movie, is shitting on occult scholars. And as much as I like feeling seen, I don't like feeling talked down to or mocked.
Well, it's the cycle of violence. You know, it's that meta commentary. Right. It's that, you know, rather than go after the people that hurt them, they're going to go after the weaker people, which is occult scholars who are weak, weak people.
I'm going to let that go just because, you know,
it's true.
We've been through a lot during this episode. I'm just going to let that go. I know you're acting out a little bit. You're probably a little hangry. Here's something we skipped over. The Colin kid, the emo kid.
Yeah.
So when I went to high school, I was very goth, not surprising in the least. And I was so thankful that emo wasn't around when I was in high school, because it's like theatrical goth. And that would have spoken to me so hard.
Oh.
Yeah. And the embarrassing pictures that I have from 94 through 99, or whatever the hell years I went to high school, oh my God, I would be so much more douche chilly. Because like goth stuff is like, there's a couple of pictures of me in makeup that I really wish didn't exist. But fucking that emo thing. Oh, there'd be so many dramatic pictures of me with my arms doing some fucking dumb theater move. And, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that wasn't around.
Actually, just commenting something the other day that I am glad that everything I've ever done is pretty much on dead media. Like, no one's going to get a VHS, you know, or get a VCR to play back dumb shit that I made in high school. I'm certainly not. If the internet was around, oh, good God. Like in the internet, the way that it is now, like someone, this came out of the same friend sent me a video of a guy, this high schooler doing a dance from an anime in front of his class and like hurting his ankle and then crying about it. Oh. I'm like, oh, that would have been me. I can't, I can't. That hurts too much.
Well, definitely not the dancing part, but doing something stupid from an anime, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think people will get it. People will know how cool this is if I do it.
You'd be joking around with a friend doing a dumb Naruto run and run into a locker. Oh, that would be your video. Best. Yeah. Like a five foot run into a locker. And don't get me wrong. I'm up throwing you under a bus. That is 100% what I would be as well.
No. But here's the thing is that I would be doing it by myself. I'm not saying I wouldn't have friends. I'm just saying I would absolutely just be like, you know, this is a long hallway. Let me just fucking, you know what Naruto would do.
Again, movie's uneven. It happens.
Yeah.
But I did like the end of the film where she breaks out of the insane asylum. Don't care about that. But the kind of during the credits and after credits of her slaughtering the band.
Yes.
I like that. They're doing like a documentary, just being douchebags, like drinking champagne and doing blow. And then she just fucking murders the shit out of them. Good times.
Well, it's also, I mean, that's also interesting just in terms of. That like, well, what do you do with this power? You know, the Jennifer was abused and upset, and so she turned it on, you know, lesser thans. Whereas Needy was like, no, I'm going to the source. And yeah, I like that twist. Not twist, but you know, that dichotomy of Needy being the actual hero, not just for stopping Jennifer, but for turning it on the people that brought this about in the first place.
Yeah. See, people with demon blood in them can be good people. Mm-hmm. And maybe you want to apologize a little bit for what you said about me?
Nope.
All right, fair enough. Guess me and my demon blood are just going to sit here being insulted constantly, even though all I've done is be a hero.
And murder people.
This movie ends in a rad Hole song, which made me think, man, I like some Hole.
Yeah. Hole's a decent band.
That's about all I have to say about Jennifer's Body, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting movie, but it's a messy movie. It's not one that I necessarily enjoyed sitting through. I do think there's, like I said, there's some kernels of some interesting stuff there, but it wasn't my jam, but I don't think it was meant to be. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, but I probably wouldn't have watched it. I don't know. I think it's kind of fine. I think if you're younger than us and identify as female, there might be some more to it. I think it might be worth watching. But I think if you're like most of what I assume both of our audience are doughy white dudes between, you know, 27 and 54. Don't worry about it. you're good. You're good.
Do you have any recommendations this week?
Oh, yeah. Recommendations. Good point. You go first. I have to think.
So this spurred me to watch other like female high school movies. Like I mentioned that a lot of this movie got compared to Ginger Snaps, which I thought was a lot of fun. Carrie as well, which is a De Palma classic. But also, I if you wanted to watch a movie about the sort of the dangers of the male gaze and how that affects women and their relationships to each other, I enjoyed The Neon Demon. It's not for everybody. It's very slow-paced and odd, Nicholas Winding Refn. But if you do watch it, I recommend checking out also this podcast, The Whole Movie Podcast. Break down this movie, talk about it. It's a movie that I was kind of on the fence when I first saw it, but I really enjoy listening to the podcast about it. And I think it's worth checking out both the movie and the podcast.
Excellent. Here's my recommendation. It is far less heady, but it is important. Very important to modern society. It's not at all. I watched on HBO Max. I realized they have the old, they have just a whole bunch of Batman material. And I watched Batman Returns. Is that the one with the lady with the swastika nipples?
Yeah, The Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, yeah. Which I'd read that book years ago and I enjoyed it. I probably read it multiple times.
Does Peter Weller do a voice on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Weller, I think, is Batman. Yeah, he's definitely Batman. Yeah, just super solid. It's because it's such a kind of seminal work in, like, you know, comic books. I was just expecting it to be a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
That they would sand out some of the rough edges because it was made so many years ago. And that book comes from the 80s. But mm-hmm. The lady with the swastika nipples, still there to stay on the nipple theme. Yep. Like, all of the, like, the rough 80s shit is there enough to understand, like, the context of that. It's if you're bored and just looking for something to kind of, you know, enjoy. Yeah, it's really well worth watching. I was pleasantly surprised. Also, kind of stoned. So if you think it's shit, you know, just write back to me. Whatever. And maybe I'll put it. Yeah. But
blaze it 420.
Yeah. Legalize or just it. Get high before you watch stuff like a reasonable person.
Yes. I'm kind of curious about that. Like, I loved the comic, you know, back when I read it. It is kind of the template for the dark, gritty superhero stuff in a lot of ways. But I think it stands on its own. I think it's fantastic for as weird, particularly for as weird as Frank Miller has gotten.
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, the visual calls are really similar. Like the Batman with the lightning strike and that weird kind of downward. It's there, like, beat for beat. It's
I don't mind that. You know, a lot of times with covers or you know, remakes or whatever. Like, I just watched the Rob Zombie version of Halloween, which is just completely unnecessary and stupid, but it is 100% a Rob Zombie movie. Like, he didn't just make the movie Halloween, he made his version of Halloween. But, like, I would like to, if an animator just made the Dark Knight Returns, like, frame for frame into an animated movie, I'd be totally cool with that.
It's not quite frame for frame, but it's pretty damn close. There's some, like, there's a lot of stuff that you're like, you always want to cheer when you see it. You're like, oh shit, that's, like, right there.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, John, I hear that you have a movie plan for next episode. I would like you to tell me about it, please.
Yes. Next episode, I think we should watch The Empty Man. It was a movie that came out in 2020, kind of got just dumped due to not just COVID, but a bunch of, like, weird studio, you know, insider Hollywood stuff. I don't want to say too much about it because you haven't seen it. Just, I want to go in as cold as possible if you haven't watched this, because I'm curious your thoughts about it. But that's what we're doing next time. The Empty Man.
All right. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. I know absolutely nothing about it, and I'm going to learn nothing about it before I watch it. And yeah, I like when that happens.
Go in as cold as possible. Like, honestly, I'm gonna, would be my recommendation.
Couldn't be colder. You just said the name of the film. I've literally never heard of it. Don't know what it is. I'm not going to know what it is until I watch it. So I'm excited by that. Cool. All right. So everybody, we'll see you next time. Please follow us on Twitter at JawsPod. We're John and Alex Hate Stuff on Facebook, and patreon.com/AlexBolin if you want to have some of the bonus episodes and all that other shit.
Yeah. And also, like, so for the last couple of years, I've been doing, like, a big horror movie binge around this spooky season or whatever. And I've been sort of tempted to do some little mini reviews of stuff. If that's something you're interested in, let me know. And that's we can throw that on the Patreon or whatever.
Hell yeah.
But if you're not, I won't. So if you feel like it, reach out, let me know. And let us know what other movies to watch. You can, like, hit us up on those social media spots that Alex already mentioned.
Yes. For the love of God, talk to us is what we're saying.
Because I just have Alex to talk to. It's terrible.
Bye.
Bye-bye.